We titled this message today, Living with Expectation. Everybody say that. Living with expectation. In this passage, Jesus is really wanting us to stay faithful in our walk with Him, but also staying prepared for His return. Church, Jesus Christ is coming back, and there will be a reward, and there will be judgment. In short, I really believe that Jesus is calling us to live every day as though it's going to be the day He would return. So let's go to our passage today in Luke chapter 12, 35 and 36 to begin. It says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when He comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for Him. Heavenly Father, we understand the promise of Your return, and we believe You're coming. But Lord, awaken our hearts to live with such thoughts that it crosses our minds daily. And Lord, help us to grasp today what You're saying, that we'll take it to heart and implement it into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Back in the days of the Bible being written, Jewish weddings would last for several days. It was unknown how many days it would go on for. They just started, and when the party ended, the party ended. And those that were there would go back home. That's why the servants of whatever master or whatever home, the servants of the household were never sure when the master was going to return from a wedding banquet. So Jesus says they did several things, the servants did, to be ready. They were dressed and ready for service, He says. This means basically their cloaks, they would keep them tucked. That way they're free to move and quickly can get around. They kept the lamps burning. He talked about that. Made sure the wicks were trimmed and oil was replenished. And finally, they were attentive and alert for a knock at the door so they could immediately open the door for the master when He arrived. The master's servants lived with this kind of expectation. We're ready whenever He shows up. And that's what Jesus, I believe, is telling us, His disciples, to do as well. In the New Testament, there are 27 chapters, and those 27 chapters are comprised of 260 chapters. Christ's return is mentioned no less than 318 times in those chapters. Statistically, if you were to walk through it, that is one out of every 25 verses, the catching away of the church or Jesus coming again is referred to. That would make me think that the coming of Jesus is really important. The only books that do not mention this coming is the book of Galatians and 2nd and 3rd John. The rest of the New Testament books all refer to Jesus coming again. But there's a problem that occurs because of the delay, it seems, in our minds. It's been close to 2,000 years since Jesus ascended to heaven, and He's not returned as of yet. And so therefore, some people conclude He's never going to return. And then others say, well, the odds are He's not going to probably return soon. He's waited that long. He's continuing to wait. However, if you really do think about it for a moment, since it's been almost 2,000 years, that only means His return is closer than it's ever been. I want you to hear what Jesus tells us in John 14 about it. In verse 1 through 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with Me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus always spoke with clarity and authority and was careful with his words. I know that Jesus meant what he said. And by the way, we know he ascended and he said, if I do go away, I will come back. The Apostle Peter addresses something for us that is helpful, and that is, why has his return been deferred or delayed? In 2 Peter, Peter tells us that already in his day, they were already beginning to waver. Oh, I don't know if he's coming. So I want you to listen to what Peter says in regards to God working to rescue his people at the right time. 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, this morning I have several long passages that I want you to hang in there with me, because I really want the Word of God to work its way into you, because I want you to hear how the Word teaches it. Not just me teaching about his return, but Jesus and the Holy Spirit through these writers revealing this. So 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. Church, I want you to know we're in a day that we need to be aware that there are churches that are bearing the name of Jesus and Christ who do not represent the Word of God any longer. They have become immoral, shamefully immoral. In fact, churches right near us are saying, oh, it's okay if two women marry each other and two men marry each other. Church, that is not what the Bible teaches. Now, I know some go, well, that sounds like hate speech to me. No, we love everybody. I think our problem is we have gotten all on this homosexual thing and gotten all concerned. Listen, adultery is just as bad. Lying is just as bad. So we love people and want them to come into the knowledge of the truth and be changed. I want the adulterer to change his way. I want the liar to change his way. I want the cheater to change their way. I want the homosexual to change their way, because that's what the Word of God teaches. I want you to continue to listen, because I want you to be aware how close we are to his coming. He goes on and says, and because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. Can I tell you to be careful to what organizations you give to? Here's what I'm asking you to do. Check them out. See what giving percentage is actually going to the field versus supporting administration. Our missions organization through the Assemblies of God uses 5% of what you give for administration. There has to be people that do all the work of keeping the records and health and all of that. And so for administration, but 95% of what you give goes to the field. Through Convoy of Hope, these ministries that we, because I want you to check out the ministries, because why? People have invented clever ways to get your money. They have an organization and they call it compassion. They call it whatever they want. And I'm telling you, you check out, you be diligent, because I don't want your money to be taken and misused. Amen. Thank you. I want you to be awake of these things, because this is what is happening today. Verse 3, as it kept reading. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. For God did not even spare the angels who sinned. Remember the third of angels who fell with Satan? He says, he threw them into hell in gloomy pits of darkness where they are being held until the day of judgment. And God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and the seven others in his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. So God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood. Later, God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and turned them into heaps of ashes. He made them an example of what will happen to ungodly people. And if you want to just go and study what Sodom and Gomorrah and what was going on, it was hugely in the sexual immorality area. And I'm telling you, that is what our nation is struggling with today. You cannot hardly watch a commercial today without some hint of impropriety or some lewdness to sex. Wake up, church. But God also rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him. I wish our souls were as sick as Lot's was. Yes, Lot was a righteous man who was tormented in his soul by the wickedness he saw and heard day after day. So you see, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while keeping the wicked under punishment until the day of final judgment. He is especially hard on those who follow their own twisted sexual desire and who despise authority. These people are proud and arrogant, daring to even scoff at supernatural beings without so much as trembling. It's amazing to me how God, the one we talk about, Almighty, who created the heavens and earth, the world scoffs at it without even trembling, saying, he didn't make the world. Church, the Lord is going to deal with the wicked. But his delay in coming is an act of mercy. It is God giving people a little more time to repent of their sin so they can be saved. Listen to Peter as he continues in chapter 3, and I'll read verses 3 to 9. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command. He brought the earth out of the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for the fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, friends. Dear friends, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Church, there may be a delay in how we see things, but God is always on time, and he will do what he says he will do. How do you know God will do it? Well, God's always been faithful to his word and faithful to every promise he's ever made. When he predicted the exile of Israel decades before it took place, I want you to know it took place. God foretold, I will send a Messiah who will come and rescue my people. And he did it with prophetic signs. And though it took a long time before the Messiah came, every sign was fulfilled, and Jesus came as the fulfilled promise of that promise. And so Jesus is teaching, and in our passage this morning, he is warning us, be ready. Be ready for my second coming. What does it mean to be ready? Basically, to be ready is a person who has surrendered their life to Christ, who is continuing to walk in the faith and continuing to grow as a disciple. Church, none of us are perfect. None of us will be made perfect. But we continue to be sanctified as we keep walking with God. As we sang this song earlier, I want to know you more. How many of you really want to know him more? If you know him more, he'll begin to speak to your life and you'll begin to change. Because I'm continuing to grow. I'm continuing to learn. I'm continuing to follow him and his word. We should be people making ourselves ready for his return every day. But let me ask you a question this morning. Last week, this past week, did you spend even one moment thinking about the second coming of Jesus? Some of you go, well, yeah, I did. Others are working your mind going, did I? Don't applaud yourself if you did. I'm glad, but that's not to be proud in the sense of pride. But church, we need to keep Jesus' return in our sights. We got to be people who are watching for his return. Again, listen to Jesus as he teaches in Matthew 24. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Back to our passage this morning, Jesus says this about his return. And I want you to hear it in verse 37. He says, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. Church, if we are ready, it will be good for us. Jesus says that when the master comes and finds his servants waiting on them, waiting for him, even if it's very late at night, the master will be so pleased that he'll become the servant and he'll have the servants sit at the table and he'll serve them. Church, for those who are faithful in following Jesus, they will be invited, think about this, to a meal hosted by the Creator himself. Church, that's undeserved grace. But that is what he says he will do. And then Jesus goes on to say that his return is unexpected. Listen to verses 39 and 40. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broke into. You also must be ready. Because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Jesus is reminding us that to make a thief successful is all about the element of surprise. And you know, if somebody knows your house is going to be broke into, you would do everything you could to stop the thief from breaking into your house. Church, what he's saying is we need to be ready. Don't get caught up in this world and lose sight of expecting Jesus to come back. Jesus does warn us, though, he'll return in a time when people don't expect it. Listen to the next verses, 41. Peter asks, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he'll put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taken a long time in coming. And then he begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving of punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Basically, the story is a man goes away on a business trip, owner, he leaves an employee in charge of the company. At first, the man, we find out, runs the company just like the owner wanted it with all the instructions the owner left. However, he says, suppose the owner's gone for a really long time and the guy says, man, I don't know if he's going to come back. And the man in charge begins to feel less accountable than he did. And he starts to harass the employees and mistreat them. He goes off partying and celebrating wildly and not expecting the master's return. Here's the problem. The man left in charge of the business began acting on two erroneous assumptions. Number one is he can do what he wants when the owner is gone. To that employee, I don't have any accountability. The owner's gone. I can do whatever I want. Church, I want you to know that we're all accountable before God for every moment of our life, every situation we walk through. And we have to continue to do what God has told us to do from His Word. And one of those things is to be watchful for His coming. A second error that the man made was this. He thought he would have enough time to get things right before the owner returned. Church, I wonder how many people live their lives with the idea that they will get right with God before it's too late. I'll get right with God before it's too late. And so many wait too long and they die before they can make things right. I'm asking you this morning, do not wait to get things right with God. This passage is really telling us Jesus has gone to heaven and He's left things in our hands. He has given us His Word. He's given us His promises. He's given us His instructions on how we're to live while we wait for the Master to return. And when He returns, He will hold us accountable. And you will not be able to use the excuse that, I didn't have time to read the instruction manual. Did you know it's your responsibility to read the instruction manual? You should be reading your Word. That's why I've taken a season. I'm trying to walk with you through an entire gospel because I want you to follow. I want you to stay with me. I want you to follow along with me. You'll also not be able to excuse yourself by saying, well, I always intended to get right with God. If it's truly your intention to get right with God, you would have already done so. But the beauty of the gospel is you can get right with God today before He returns. Today, as I close, I want to challenge you with a couple of thoughts. Pastor James, would you come? For those in the place today who are professing to be followers of Christ, born-again believers, I want to ask you this question. Are you living like one who is preparing for an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Are you living like one who is preparing, ready for an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Did you know that meeting could happen today? The trumpet could sound and we would be meeting Jesus in the air. It could happen today. Some people say, well, there's other things that have got to take place. I will tell you this. Nowhere in Scripture does it say anything has to take place for the catching away of the church. There are some things that will transpire before the tribulation, but not for the catching away. That's why you need to be ready, dressed, ready for service. So when the master knocks, you hear it, and immediately, I'm here. What do you want? I don't want to be gloom and doom this morning, but if he does not return today, another event could happen in your life. You could have a heart attack. You could be in some accident that takes your life. So you have to ask the question, if Jesus came today, or if I was to meet Jesus today, would you be ready? If you knew that Jesus was coming back at 7 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock, he's coming, would you do anything differently for the rest of the day? Think about it. And let me be frank with you, if you think you would do things differently because Jesus was coming tonight, there could be a good chance that there's a problem with your relationship. Because you should be ready. You just should be ready. Jesus calls us to be diligent in our discipleship. Discipleship comes from the word discipline, where we begin to discipline our lives according to his word. When he says do this or don't do that, that's how we live. Don't get angry. Then don't get angry. And you've got to learn to use self-control and say, Holy Spirit, help me with that. Grow me in that. Show me. Teach me. You go, well, if I don't get angry, nothing will get done. I think God has other pet methods and paths that we can walk and be more efficient than we can in the flesh if we walk by the Spirit. He calls us to be diligent in disciplining ourselves. That's going to take work, but that's discipleship because I'm following him. We need to take a hard look at our lives and make whatever changes we need to make to be sure that we're ready when he does come. And maybe you need to start every day with a simple declaration. This could be the day. This could be today. Everybody say that. Do you really believe it? Or somewhere in your mind, you're going, well, I don't know. I would make myself ready. This could be the day. I don't know how you're going to remember that, but maybe you can put it on your refrigerator. This could be the day. Or on your bathroom mirror, this could be the day. Or maybe on your dresser mirror. My wife has a... It's something I gave everybody several years ago, and it was a scripture where you could fill your name in as you just speak his word over your life. And she has it there. Every once in a while I walk by and I fill in my name. I read it. And I know it was for her, but I cheat and use it too. And I don't know what you need to do to put in your mind or your rearview mirror somewhere, this could be the day. You need to live that way, ready. Not because I'm preaching it, but because Jesus said it. Jesus says, be dressed, ready for service. And I think if we live that way, we live with a little more thought with Christ being part of our life every moment. Church, we need to make the most of every opportunity we have. I know it could be possible, though, there could be some here today who are not ready. You know you're not ready. And you've been saying, well, someday, I think I'm going to follow him. Could I ask you this question sincerely? What makes you think that someday you will follow him if you will not follow him today? If you can walk away from the gospel message today, what makes you think you'll respond to the message any other day? You could just wait a little bit too long. If you're open to the message of forgiveness and new life in Jesus, then why don't you do something about it today? Don't leave this place unprepared. The Lord has called us to follow Him, to be committed to Him, to live every day as though He's coming back today. This could be the day. If you're wanting to walk the adventure of your life, then surrender your life to Him today. Acknowledge your sin condition. We all have a sin condition. And then we ask God to forgive us, and we put our faith in Him, knowing that He died on the cross, but He rose again, and He's coming again. And then confess Him as Lord of your life and boldly live for Him. Church, the Bible is clear that there will be a day that Jesus will return. And the message for today is quite simple. The day He returns could be a great day of grief and sorrow for some people, but it will be an immeasurable joy for others. It all depends on whether or not you're ready. Are you ready for Jesus to return? Or will you be one of those caught by surprise? I'm asking you today to put your faith in Jesus and to be a person living with expectation. Expecting. Living that way. Churches, we're walking through Luke. I'm just telling you what Jesus is telling us. And I think the church at large, not that it doesn't have it in its doctrine or theology that He's coming, but it isn't living in them. And I think the world has enough attraction, if we're not careful, to pull our attention away from Him. And He doesn't want that. I thought you sang earlier, I want to know You more. In knowing Him more, is to keep your heart and your life ready, dressed and ready. Would you bow your heads for a moment? In this room, you know if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, balcony, main floor. And I'm just going to ask you, like in the first service, those who gave their hearts today, don't leave unprepared. And so I'm going to ask you, you can just slip your hand up and write back down, but I want to pray with you as we invite Jesus to be Lord of our lives. If that's you, I'm just glancing across the building. Would you just lift your hand up and you put it right back down? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Is there any others? Just, I don't want to miss anybody. This is so important. Be ready. With these that have lifted their hands, and it's not that you're evil, it's just that I know I got to get things ready. I got to maybe get some junk out of my life. I've got to find that washing of the water of the Word again. Before I pray, would you look at me? The Holy Spirit just brought that to my mind. Church, there's a scripture that talks about the washing of the water of the Word. It's when you pour the Word over your life. It's just like when you take a bath or a shower and it pours over you, it begins to wash away the dirt. The harder it hits you, the more effective it can be. I want the Word of God to wash over me. It's what will cleanse us. And I don't want to think, because I look at hands week after week, and I know many of you are striving to follow Christ, but it's okay to let Him wash you. It's okay to get the dirt off, because it splashes onto us when we walk in the world. And I just need to wash it off and get my mind focused to be ready. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of distractions out there. So I'm asking everyone in this place, whether you raised your hand or not, well, let's all reaffirm this morning. Make ourselves ready. So I want you to pray with me this morning. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I ask You today to cleanse me wash me, make me clean. I confess that I have sinned, but I also know that your word says, when I confess that, you are faithful to forgive me of all unrighteousness. I receive your grace today. And I choose this day to live for you and to make myself ready each day. I want to live expecting you to return any day. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you just celebrate with these and surrendered again and thank you, Lord.